All right.
Behind the babies.
Morning. I'd like to welcome you to the July. July 19th, 2024, meeting of the Arizona Barbering Cosmetology Board. Invite you to join me in the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. All right, we'll do the roll call of the board members and board staff.
For board members, we have Gary Bailey.
Here.
Marshall Knopf. Mark Marshall is absent. We have Nick Goodman.
Present.
Trista Guzman Glover.
Present.
Brandon McFadden.
Present.
Berenstein.
Sorry, was that me? They cut out. Jason, present.
And Tracy Wilkinson.
Here.
And then we do have Brandy Flores also requested as absent for today. For board staff, we have Frank McGowan.
Present.
Kelly Shepherd.
Present.
Rosa Rodriguez.
Present.
Heather Santafrio. Isabella Legowski.
Present.
Lakeisha Coleman.
Present.
Darnay Griffin.
Here.
Kathy Bergeron.
Present.
Helen Bordelon.
Present.
Lisa Chavez.
Here.
Alexandra Hill.
Present.
Keegan McConnell.
Here.
Out front, we have Amelia Heredia. And then for legal counsel present, we have the Assistant Attorney General Scott Donald.
Here.
And then later, Mark Harris will be joining us as our independent advisor today.
Perfect. Thank you all for attending. We appreciate your willingness to participate and to be enabled for the next business. Number three, the board may vote to go into executive session to discuss personal matters pursuant to ARS 38-431-03A-01 or to obtain legal advice pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A-3. Under A, discussion, consideration, possible action on approval of the regular board minutes for the June 21st, 2024 board meeting. Do we have any discussion related to that? We have a motion regarding that.
I move that we approve the board minute from the June 21st, 2024 board meeting.
Yep. McFadden, I'm thinking it. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, that passes unanimously. B, do we have any conflicts of interest amongst the board members?
You're on Robo.
We'll take that as a no.
Computers talking.
All right, so we agree we have no board conflicts.
Yeah, I think we're fine.
All right, now we're up to C. Welcome the visiting barber and cosmetology students and instructors, and we appear to have a few.
Afterwards, in ophthalmology. Thank you.
Very nice. Really appreciate you guys coming. I think it's important for the schools to come and see how the board operates. We're going to be such a big part of your future. And I hope that you'll recognize that we're here to help you and work with you, not to cause you grief. Do you have any questions of us at this point? All right, take the list and we'll get through. All right, that brings up number four, the executive director report. Mr. McGowan, would you like to work your way to that?
I would love to. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. As always, I do like to start with good news. And it has been a great month from a customer service standpoint. And we have received our most since we started tracking it a year ago, four positive Google reviews that point out specifically through the comments, Sharon Pucci, Jessica Carranza, Vanessa McQueva, obviously three of our customer service three of our customer service representatives, as well as one of our longtime life hygiene specialists, Susie Thomas. Our rating still remains at that 2.7 mark, but as always, we like to stop and celebrate the positives when we can have them. I did reference last month in my board report that we had some one-time money available to us that allowed us to remodel our office suite upstairs. And that project is about 98% completed. There's a couple of minor little things that we need to work on and fix and get some stuff back on the walls and some of those types of things. But we would like to extend the opportunity to have the board come and visit our office space after today's meeting. I do need to remind board members that we need to be mindful of not having a quorum of board members gathered in the office space, but maybe board members, if you choose, would like to take turns just to come up and see how great it looks upstairs. Additionally, last month I did reference the staff merit pay increase. And I wanted to point out again this month that those raises have been fully implemented, and the team saw those raises reflected on their paychecks their first paycheck last week. There was one data component that I failed to mention during that part of my report last month, is that since April of 2022, pretty much when I arrived to the organization, I do want to point out that VCB staff salaries have increased 33% on average, excluding my salary. That's the calculation that was made. So good progress has been made over the last 2 years to attract and maintain high performing employees. The final item of good news that I wanted to share is that we have schedules. It's not our first licensed school town hall. It's our second, but it'll be our first of this school year. We are doing this in person this time. I think I want to have that opportunity to have everybody in the same room. We have a lot to discuss. It's going to be a very jam-packed agenda because we have a significant number of changes legislatively and rule regulatory wise, so it's going to be very good. But that is scheduled on August 20th, and that will be at the Gateway Community College Central City Campus, I believe is how they call that. Some additional really great news is that the governor did actually sign our bill. That was actually the same day as our board meeting last month, but I didn't get noticed until the week after. I did send an email to the board members letting them know that had happened and that the bill that she signed did in fact include our appropriation requests. So there was that good, it was the good news scenario, but it wasn't a full increase like we expected. So our increase was only 60%. If you will, 60% of the original request, but we will be able to accomplish a significant amount of items as a result of that increase. And that's where this comes into play. Now that we have that budget certainty, we immediately began backfilling a number of positions. That includes our office manager, and I'm very excited to announce that publicly today that Heather Santabria was the successful candidate for that position, and she has been promoted to office manager from her role as executive staff assistant. And she officially begins in that role on Monday. However, I will tell you, she has been supporting that functionality for the last 6 months. I did interview both her as an internal candidate, but a number of external candidates, and she was the choice that was made. And I always, I'm a huge fan of promoting within, having a career ladder within the organization, and this is one of those opportunities. I'm incredibly proud of that. Additionally, we have interviewed and offered the licensing and customer care administrator position to Jessica Wilson. She will begin on Monday, July 29th. She comes to us from SoFi Bank. She has a significant amount of regulatory experience there, both just from the banking industry in general, but also she was in the Apparently they moved into starting to offer student loans, and she was on the ground floor with a team of people implementing that student loan program for SoFi Bank. And obviously, as many of us are aware, there's a lot of regulatory burden, or I shouldn't say burden, a regulatory requirement within the student loan industry. So we are very excited to have her. She also has significant customer service experience within that, her role at SoFi Banks. We're very excited to have her begin on the 29th. She'll be overseeing that licensing team and the customer care team. Next up, we have our establishment licensing specialist. That's the position to backfill the role that Darnay was in, and he had promoted up. And we have Carmela Baker, who is a licensee from the East Valley, who will actually be on Monday in her new role as our establishment licensing specialist. So we'll have that role filled. And finally, our board meeting last month, that was Carlos's last day in that support role of the compliance team. We have posted that position, and those interviews will be conducted next Thursday and Friday. As a result of that appropriation increase, we are also going to be able to net four new positions to the organization. We have established and posted an investigator supervisor. That team is expanded. And so we need to add a supervisory level to that. So we're very excited to have that position. On August 1st, I believe Kelly and Rosa will be conducting those interviews. So we're very excited about that. So now that leaves an additional investigator, an additional customer service representative for the call center team, and a licensing specialist that will cover our school, our licensed schools, as well as the new eyelash technician registration program. So at this point, we've got to get, in order to fill those last three positions, we want those supervisors to be in place first. So we prioritized hiring the supervisors, and then we will post for the investigators, DSR, and licensing specialist through those appropriate supervisors. So I would anticipate, hopefully by next board meeting, those positions will at least be posted for us to move forward on those. But again, very, very excited. We will have 26 full-time employees when all is said and done, which will be the most number of employees we've had in a number of years, certainly since I have been here. For your reference, in the hard copy materials that I've set at your computers this morning is an updated organizational chart, so you can see where everything's all from that perspective. Next up this morning is our financial update. I didn't think I was gonna have this, and then our finance folks sent me the finance report at 4 p.m. yesterday afternoon. So I was able to get this updated for you. You will see we had another month of very significant revenue. We also had a month of significant expense, but that was anticipated. So I'm actually very happy to report this morning that we spent 99.1% of our annual appropriation last year. And I will tell you, I was sweating that one, because how bad would it have looked for us to have had any higher percentage than that at the same time that we had a legislator champion a appropriation increase for us. So, and I'll be honest, there are still a few small invoices that are outstanding that will need to be processed for June. So again, that percentage will increase just a little bit more. Additionally, I have reported every month, our barbering and cosmetology fund balance began the year at $15,370,065. And we ended June at $5,001,009. And that is because of the House Bill 2897 feed bill that transferred $12,100,000 to the state general fund. And that transfer, which we had to do, was completed on June 28th. So that ended up reflected. Actually, we were required by the statute to do that by June 30th. So that's why you see that reflected decreased number. Next up is our testing for theory exam. This is the second month I'm reporting this for all of you, and I will continue to do so if you believe that it is important for you to have as part of my report. We did have 661 candidates test by way of the theory exam in June of 24, and with an average passing rate of 74%. For our written practical examinations, we had 572 candidates test in the month of June with an 84% average passing rate. And then our scheduled exams, we have 674 candidates scheduled to test from July 5th to December 30th. 373 of those are written practicals. Of that, 4 cosmetology exams and 4 barber exams are registered as taking that in Spanish. And we have an additional 301 theory exams scheduled. For those of us board members that have joined us by phone, I did email a copy of the both the org chart as well as this presentation to you, so you have that at your fingertips. Next up is our licensing update. We do have our new exam applications, and all I can say about our new exam applications is we were slammed with new exam applications in the month of June. As of close of business yesterday, we had received, well, we did receive 466 new exam applications, which is 180-ish more than we typically receive. And as of close of business yesterday, we were able to approve 375 of those within 13 business days, but we still have 91 of those applications that we're still working to review from the month of June. For our establishment applications, we received 166 in the month of June. All 166 of those have been approved. That approval process has gotten significantly easier as a result of our updated regulations, and that was done within 6 business days, and none are incomplete. For reciprocity, we received 172 applications. Of that, 117 have been approved within 7 business days. 55 of those are incomplete. On this one, they are incomplete because we are waiting on their documentation from their prior state, but that we have touched, if you will, all 172 of those applications. For our Cosmos school renewals, for the month of June, we received 32 of those, and all 32 of those have been approved, and that was done within one day, and there are none currently outstanding at this point. We are currently working on pulling a report to see if there are any deficient, I mean, if there are any schools that have not renewed at this point, because I think by my number, we should have 10 or 15 more that we just have not seen yet. So I want to obviously reach out to those folks and see if they're still continuing to operate a school, if they miss their renewal, make sure we get that as quickly as possible. Next up for barber school renewals, we had received 8 of those in the month of June. All of those were approved in less than one day. I do want to stop here for a moment, however, and discuss the barber school renewals. We did discuss at last month's board meeting the continued difficulties that we were facing with the data system transition for barber school renewal. That continued all the way until the last week of June, at which point I made the decision to renew all of the school barber school licenses and waiving the fees, not the requirements, but we waived the fees and got them renewed so that they continue to operate their schools on July 1. On top of that, because we had had 12 barber school renewals that did successfully renew through the new system, I went back and I refunded those 12 schools their school renewal fees for this year so that we were consistent across the board for all of our barber schools. We did receive pretty significant appreciation for that. And at this point, now what we are doing is we talked about the data and the difficulties around the data coming from multiple prior systems. I want to be clear, it's no individual person's fault. It's just the way data systems work. And so what we are now doing to ensure that we don't have this problem next June is we are working on ensuring all of the information for the barber schools is correct in the system now, so that this doesn't occur again next June and that they should be able to seamlessly do their barber school renewal.
Frank. I think that's great. Thank you for doing that and making sure it was equitable. I also just want to point out that establishment applications didn't have any that were incomplete, which clearly means that the rule change that was very needed, it's actually working. So I just wanted to congratulate staff again on figuring that out and getting it implemented, because that used to be a large number and it's not anymore.
And I will turn that back around to the board and giving my appreciation to you all for hearing us and quote unquote approving that change that we can push that forward with the governor's regulatory review council. Next up is our ILS extension registration. I will say I have been giving you basically program to date numbers here. I'm going to switch that next month to giving you prior month totals, but I just wanted to see kind of what the first 3 months of this looked like before we switch to that. Our board approved training program application again went live on 4/28/2024. As of 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, we had 101 programs approved to date. I'm sure there's a few more in there waiting for me this morning. Our ILS establishment application went live on May 8th, and we have 5 of those approved to date. And then our individual eyelash technician application went live on May 17th, and we have 907 of those approved as of 3 p.m. yesterday afternoon. That seems to be going very well, working very well. The process is going well. And most of those are approved in 1 to 2 business days. Our customer care update. We received 2,914 calls. We took, I should say, 2,914 calls in the month of June, with an average wait time of 12 minutes and 12 seconds and a handle time of 6 minutes and 29 seconds, for that total interaction time of 18 minutes and 41 seconds. I'm not going to lie to you. It was brutal. June was tough for this team, the customer service team. We got through it. And I think we are on the other side of that at this point. The numbers seemed to have fallen off this week. And so I'm hopeful that we'll start. This actually has trended down that total number. My huge kudos to that team. It is, as I will share with you in just a moment, these phone calls are not easy. So my sincere appreciation to that team for coming in, gritting their teeth, and putting the best of a smile on their face that they can to take those phone calls. I should also recognize both Lakeisha and Salipi, who also jumped in and helped us for multiple days towards the end of the month, so that it could be manageable for the team as a whole.
Frank, what kind of calls are those?
Well, I will tell you, in June, it was a lot of the barber stuff. So every barber school and every barber shop renew in the month of June, per the old rules. Now, with the new rules, shops will expire a year from the date that they are approved. So it'll slowly start adjusting it out so that we don't get slammed in June. Other calls, it's been a lot of licensing system questions, guiding them through the process of logging into the new system, making sure the information on the back end, where we talked about that data before, making sure that data on the back end is correct so that they can successfully log into the new system. And some of that's probably the bulk of it at this point, is those two situations. Now, I wish I had better news to share with you, but I do want to publicly and for the board members to discuss two situations that occurred earlier this week. On Tuesday afternoon, one of our customer service reps received a call from an applicant. The applicant was seeking a refund from an application they had submitted in March. Ultimately, it was determined the applicant had applied for the wrong application. On that application, the applicant signed an attestation acknowledgement that reads, and I quote, "I acknowledge that I am applying for a certification request and understand that I will not be refunded if I fill out the incorrect application." At one point during the caller thought they were on hold and made the statement, and I quote, "They should be shot for the inconvenience of the time frame." I want to be clear to the public listening to this meeting today and for our board members that I will not tolerate this behavior. It is completely unacceptable. I've listened to the call multiple times to see what we could have done better. And I will tell you right here and right now, there is not a single thing that our customer service representative could have done better in this situation. She handled it so well that I'm thankful she handled it as well as she did because it could have escalated further. I have instructed our team that they need to immediately end those interactions and not continue those interactions, whether they are in person or on the phone, and then immediately escalate that situation through their chain of command to determine the course of action needed. I will be clear, in this case, the situation has been reported to the Department of Public Safety for further review and investigation if they deem necessary. And a recording of that phone call will be provided for that investigator and any other supporting documents, including that application where they sign the attestation that they would not be refunded. Again, the customer service representative in this situation did a fantastic job of handling the such situation, and frankly, far better than I ever would have done or put up with. Another example, just yesterday afternoon, two of our investigators were in a barber shop in Maryvale. After introducing themselves and asking to see copies of the barber's licenses, the manager of the shop became very irate, belligerent, and even suggesting to one of the investigators that they should fight. Our investigator reminded the manager that they have a statutory right to be on the premises during business hours and completed the routine inspection. Through that process, that barbershop manager was in the face of our investigator, continuing to puff himself up, continuing to make comments about fighting that investigator, and was completely, completely inappropriate. By all accounts, our investigators, because there were two in this case, and I'm thankful there were two in this case, handled the situation very well, worked diligently to de-escalate the situation by just saying, hey, we're just here to do our jobs. There's nothing wrong in here. There's nothing's going to be wrong. Again, I do want to be clear that to the public listening to this meeting, that this behavior is completely unacceptable and will not be tolerated. This morning, prior to the board meeting, I did meet with the compliance team and the investigator specifically, and I have advised the investigators that they are in no way obligated to continue that investigation or inspection when those situations occur. I have told them they should immediately leave the situation. They don't need to complete that inspection or investigation. And that though in those situations, those barbershop or any establishment for that matter should be issued an unsatisfactory grade for those establishments violating both ARS 32542 and ARS 32504 that gives the board and board staff explicit authority to conduct inspections during business hours. And to be clear, it was during posted business hours yesterday afternoon. Again, my sincere appreciation to those investigators that were put in that situation, my sincere appreciation to them for de-escalating that as best as possible. And again, my biggest fear is that this is not the first time I've had this conversation with the board to make them aware of what is going on. But we have to start doing something. We have to start addressing these situations before it continues to escalate, because my opinion, God forbid something happens to one of our investigators and they're out in the field doing it. I don't want to be reacting to that situation. I want to proactively protect our investigators in these situations. As a result, specifically of the phone call situation earlier this week and the continued escalation of these types of calls, we have set a standard definition of an abusive caller and developed a form that will allow us to track those situations. This is being done in the hopes that if there are themes within those calls, that we can better understand why the calls are escalating and if there's anything we can do to improve our side of that equation. We set that definition and we are going to, again, see how that goes so that at least all of the customer service reps are operating off of that same definition. Any questions for me on that
No, I think we need to bring those people before the board because the public's not safe with people who act that way, so perhaps they shouldn't be licensed. I'd be happy to do that.
I think in this situation, you will be seeing in the coming months an unsatisfactory report on that shop. Because if I recall correctly, I got so caught up in the other side of the equation, there was actually no licenses in the establishment yesterday, so.
Bring them in.
Yep. So next up, speaking of compliance, thank you. Actually, let me go back real quick. Thank you for your understanding and support on that. I really appreciate that. Next up is our, really? Next up is our compliance update. We received, in the month of June, we received 53 consumer complaints. 36% of those were within our jurisdiction, meaning they were, could be a violation of our statute or rule. And they will be, have been assigned to an investigator to conduct an investigation. In the month of June, we conducted 310 inspections that resulted in an 87% compliance rate. And on top of that, 13 investigations were conducted. Additionally, we were outside of Maricopa County, multiple towns and cities, including Bullhead City, Fort Mojave, Page, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Jerome. Here are our next six meetings, five meetings. The four meetings will continue to be on the third Friday of the month. We did move up at board's consensus earlier this year, the December meeting, so that we wouldn't be bumping into that holiday timeframe. And that one will be December 13th at 9 a.m. I do also want to bring to the board's attention, last month we discussed the meeting schedule. We discussed having an agenda item to discuss next year's meeting schedule, and we had talked about putting that in the month of October. Heather very nicely reminded me after that meeting, we can't wait until October to schedule these rooms. They book up very quickly. As a matter of fact, many of our peer boards have already booked theirs for next year. So we will actually have this, the 2025 board meeting schedule as an agenda item in August so that we can get those rooms, so we can settle on what that looked like and get those rooms booked for next year. With that, I will turn it back over to you, Mr. Chair.
Great, thank you. Interesting thing. Yeah, I think it personally, I'm not messing with our investigators. And I think we need to be civil on our own and that's it. I can see it have to be something in our case. There's no option. All right, that brings us to the complaint review and consent agenda. Should we start to that?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Rosa Rodriguez. I am the compliance administrator. So step 1A, we have application denial. The first one is 2024-00750, Locks View, Nail Technology Reciprocity Applicant, deny or grant licensure upon acceptance of consent agreement to assess a civil penalty of $250 for working prior to obtaining a license. On April 24, 2024, the board investigator conducted a routine inspection of Kingman Number 1 Nails in Kingman, Arizona, and found the applicant attempting to practice nail technology without a license. On May 15, 2024, the board office received a certification of licensure from the applicant from the state of California. And on May 23rd, the applicant submitted a reciprocity application for nail technology. Part of the requirement is that the applicant read the Arizona statutes and rules according to the Arizona Administrative Court Rule 4-10-106. An individual shall practice nail technology until the individual receives and posts the license at place of employment.
All right. We have any questions on the board? We have a voice regarding the denial of granting of this license. It's about the fact they're working for the head license.
This is Goodman. I'll move that we deny as suggested by the staff.
We have a motion. Second. All in favor of denying licensure until the civil penalty is paid because of prior license? Say aye.
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 Tracy?
Oh, aye.
Okay, any opposed? I can ask the reading reads accept without recommendations.
Thank you. Case number 2024-00753. Natalia M. Solly, Cosmetology with property applicant, deny a grant licensure upon acceptance of consent agreement to assess the civil penalty of $250 for working prior to obtaining a license. On September 23rd of 2023, the board office received Mrs. Doyle's rent property application. Part of the requirement is that she read the Arizona statutes and rules. According to the Arizona Administrative Code Rule 410-106, an individual shall not practice cosmetology until the individual receives and posts a license at the place of employment. The reciprocity application was incomplete. It was missing the certification of licensure. Board staff sent an email communication to the email on file requesting the information. On April 11th of 2024, a board investigator conducted a routine inspection at Sultan's in Scottsdale, Arizona, and found the applicant attempting to practice cosmetology services without a license. And on April 29th, 2024, the board office received proof of licensure from the state of Illinois.
Okay. Any questions of Rosa? Do we have a motion regarding the recommendation?
Goodman again, suggest that, or I move that we deny application pending the limit like we did in the last.
With that, second, the motion second, all in favor of accepting staff recommendations to deny license for until the consent agreement is met. Say aye.
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 Yep, that was unanimous, so we can add the rates. Next action B.
Step 1B, recommend dismissal. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under step 1B recommend dismissal have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
The board have any questions about anything in B? Do we have a motion regarding staff recommendations for E?
Goodman moves that we accept the staff recommendations and dismiss the cases in B.
McFadden, second that.
Motion second, all in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
And again, that's unanimous. We accept staff recommendations of all those cases.
Step 1C, recommend for letter of concern. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under step 1C recommend letter of concerns have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Any questions of Rosa about these cases? Any motion regarding this debt fee?
Goodman moves that we accept the staff recommendation of non-disciplinary letters of concern for the parties involved in or listed here in state.
McFadden, second that.
Motion and second, all in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
That's five. Okay, so we agree to accept staff recommendations in all those cases. D, please.
Step 1D, recommend informal interviews without negotiation terms. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases listed under step 1D recommend for informal interview without negotiation terms have been reviewed according to board parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Again, any questions of Rose regarding these three cases? Any motions regarding these three cases?
Keep the party going, I guess. Goodman moves that under D that we accept the staff recommendations of the informal interview without negotiation term as justified.
McFadden, second that.
Perfect. The motion is second, all in favor, say aye.
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 All right, so you now agree to accept staff recommendation of this group two. Our E.
Step 1E, recommend informal interviews with negotiation terms. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, all cases that under step 1E recommend for informal interview with negotiation terms have been reviewed according to board's parameters, and we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Okay. questions regarding the 38 cases in this section?
Good job, staff. Goodman moves that we accept the staff recommendations of informal interview with negotiations for section T.
McFadden, second that.
All right, well, motion second. All in favor, say aye.
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 All right, unanimously, we agree. All right, let's call it move forward. Bring the detection. Okay.
All right, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I will point out here that we do have some time specific items that are going to occur in the next two sections of the agenda. So at this point, I do believe we will need to enter into recess until 10 a.m.
You're absolutely correct. 9:45, according to the magic on the back wall back there. So we had reached up for 15 minutes. So feel free to move out of the cabinet. Back in session. We're number six. Items to board review discussion regarding signing consent agreement to 10 o'clock time certain, whereas 10:04, so it's okay that availability. The board may go into executive session for the purpose of obtaining legal advice from the board's attorney on any agenda item under step three, which is the ARS 38-4-3-A-4-3, which brings us to case one under A, our case number 98-5-2, Mirabella Studio 256, license SDOS 26253, Constantine Marie Fry Roden, license 11001820. Josie, do you have information for us about this?
I read bar. Assistant Attorney Scott Donald, the present.
Certainly. Good morning, Mr. Chair, and members of the board. This is a very straightforward matter. This is a consent agreement that was negotiated between counsel and the licensee in the case. This was forwarded to a hearing for violation of board order. The licensee entered into a consent agreement previously. Subsequently, an inspection was performed and there were potential violations found. Again, this was forwarded then for a hearing. Prior to the hearing, I was contacted by the licensee and we negotiated the signed consent agreement before the board in the matter. Beyond that, I would be happy to answer any questions. Sorry.
Okay, so we had a consent agreement which was agreed to and executed.
Yeah, it is executed by the licensee. It would be up to the board to accept or reject the consent agreement.
And in this negotiation, you obviously felt like the items had been met.
Yes, I consulted with Ms. Rodriguez in the matter to determine an appropriate resolution that would be consistent with prior board action in similar cases. However, at the same time, the board certainly is free to examine the individual characteristics of the case and determine if there should be a different resolution. But this would be the resolution that I negotiated following conversations with Ms. Rodriguez.
Does the board have any questions about this case? I'd like to have more information on it. Yeah, clearly we're satisfied. So do we have a motion regarding this case?
I move that we accept the signed consent agreement in case number 98512.
Goodman, second. The motion is second. All in favor, say aye.
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 All right, you agree, except thank you for doing that. We're now at B. Discuss review possible action reciprocity of Barbara, applicant pursuant to ARS 32-323. One is applicant Ramel Drea. Can we hear about that? There you are.
Good morning, Mr. Bagley, members of the board. My name is Leticia Coleman, and I'll be presenting the Barbara Interval application today. Mr. Ramel Pedra has presented all required documents for a completed in-person application. At the review of documents presented, I have determined that all documents are in good standing. He has also taken the practical injury test as extra measure and passed a test. I am here today to and approve or deny license for today. If you do have any further questions about the documents presented, I will be happy to answer them.
Does the board have any questions of our specialist? Hearing. Do we have a motion regarding this matter?
Guzman Glover move that we grant licensure for reciprocity applicant Remel Pietra.
Goodman second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Right, unanimously agree, and thank you for your work. All right, that brings us up to a review discussion possible action on motion to deem. Motion. So. All right, we're looking at motion to deem. This is a time scheduled with the board's consideration of state's motion deem allegations admitted in case number 98070 and 98071. Polished room SNT 18386 and SAES 19562. Ben Nguyen, license 5970625. Are you state represented?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chair. Scott Donald, Assistant Attorney General. I will be standing in for AAG Dean Galvin with regards to this case.
Okay. Is the licensee present? Are you on the phone, star six, if you're on the phone? Hearing no response, a motion deem allegation submitted was filed by the state, and a copy was mailed to the licensee.
I'm here. There.
You're there. Would you identify yourself?
Francine Medina.
This case is Ben Nguyen. That's who we're looking for.
Excuse me?
I don't believe you're part of this case.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Anyway. Motion deem allegation admitted was filed by the state, and a copy is mailed like the last known address on record report. In the state's motion, it says that a complaint and notice of hearing was mailed to the licensee. As our last known address, 38 Pats, no answer was filed by licensee. Does the state wish to make an oral argument?
Mr. Chair, I'll keep it very brief. The board has the motion before it. In this case, the licensee was notified by certified mailing, which was delivered as a evidence in the exhibits to the motion April 11th and April 18th. And to date, the state has not seen any filed answers to the complaint in this case. So at this time, the state would ask that the board find it appropriate to grant the motion to deem and deem the factual allegations as proved in the case.
Okay. Again, I offer the licensee an opportunity to respond. Ben Nguyen from the polish room. Hearing no response. Is there a motion granting the state's motion deem allegations admitted?
Can't remember how to make a motion on this one, but I do please grant the state's motion to deem allegations admitted.
McBeth, second this.
The motion and second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Unanimously, we agree.
We do actually need to do a roll call vote.
You want to do a roll call?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So for a roll call vote, we have Gary Bagley.
Yes.
Nick Goodman.
Yeah.
Trista Guzman Glover. Yes. Brandon McFadden.
Present.
Case Turrentine.
Here.
Tracy Wilkinson.
Yes.
All right. And your responses mean you agree?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Is there a motion to adopt findings of facts, conclusions of law?
I think my lover moved that we adopt the factual allegations and the alleged violations in the formal hearing complaint.
Do we have a second?
McFadden, second.
The motion is second. Should we do a roll call?
For a roll call vote, we have Gary Bagley.
Yes.
Nick Goodman.
Yeah.
Trista Guzman Glover. Yes. Brandon McFadden.
Yes.
Tracy Turrentine.
our turn. Take your turn, Shine. I'm going to do together.
Do you like me?
I was going to do, yes.
And Tracy Wilkinson.
Yes.
At least it was you this time.
All right.
Is there a motion regarding an order of discipline this matter?
Mr. Chair.
Would you like to propose this?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. The state has reviewed the circumstances of the case, and given prior board action, I believe, and after discussion with Rodriguez, I believe that it would be appropriate for the state to request the board find appropriate to order a $250 civil penalty with a 12-month probationary period with early termination upon completion of the order's requirements. And additionally, I believe it would be appropriate to order recovery of costs and fees incurred by the board in having to bring this matter to a prosecution.
All right, and that's it.
Certainly, the board could deviate from that to whatever the board believes is appropriate within their disciplinary options.
Okay. Do we have, before we move into a motion, do we have any discussion about this motion? And as far as the discipline goes?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, sorry to interrupt. Was the intent of the recommendation to give the licensee 12 months to pay everything, or did you want to? I don't know.
Yes.
There was discussion on it.
Yes, in fact, and I apologize, I probably should have been more clear. It would be a 12-month probationary period with early termination. So should the licensee pay the $250 next week, the 12-month probation would conclude at that point. Or, it would conclude at the point of paying the penalty and any board costs and fees incurred in order.
Could we be reminded of the infractions that we're discussing?
Certainly, just one moment. Problem with technology is involves a whole lot of scrolling. Yes, this is a matter of allowing licensees to perform services with inactive individual licenses. And that appears to be the sole issue in this case.
Okay, thank you for that.
Certainly.
All right, then based on information, do we have a motion regarding an order of discipline this matter?
Ms. Von Glover moved that we enact the following discipline: a $250 civil penalty with 12-month probation with early termination, and also include costs and fees incurred by the board.
I second.
A motion and a second. Do we do a roll call?
Roll call vote. We have Terry Bateman.
Yeah.
Nick Goodman.
Yeah.
Spencer Goodman Glover.
Yes.
Brandon McFadden.
Yes.
Jake Terrence.
Yes.
Tracy Wilkinson.
Yes.
All right, that was unanimous. So this concludes this matter in order to be prepared by the staff and mailed to the licensee. I need this. You all please. All right, that brings us up to section 7 on the home straightaway here. All right, section 7. Again, the board may make to go vote to go into executive session to discuss or consider records exempt by law for public inspection, including the receipt and discussion of information or testimony that is confidential by the state or for federal law on all agenda items. Out here, step 3, pursuant to ARA 38431.0382. In the informal interviews, it is now, let's make it 10:17. On July 19th, 2024, the time and place scheduled for the board's review of case was scheduled for informal interview pursuant to ARS 32573. My name is Board Chairman Gary Begley. The other board members will now introduce themselves and indicate whether they are a public member or professional member.
Trista Guzman Glover, public member.
Brandon McFadden, professional.
Nick Goodman, public member.
Chaser Tracy.
Chase Tarantine, public member.
Tracy Wilkinson, professional member.
Thank you. Also present, the board's executive director, Frank McGolly, and the board's attorney, Scott Donald, from the Arizona Attorney General's Office. Is that right? When your case is called, unmute your phone by pressing star six. Please be aware that we have read all the materials submitted. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask those speaking not to take time repeating information that the board has already received. You and your legal counsel, if applicable, collectively will be given the time to address the board equal to the time it took to present the investigative report, or 5 minutes, whichever is greater. The board has a civility policy, and we request all participants conduct themselves in a professional manner. Once the board concludes its discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberations. While the parties are free to stay and listen to the deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact that we are now discussing the case amongst ourselves and request you not interrupt that process. We'd like to swear in the board's staff at this point. We do the names first. Rosa Rodriguez, Ellen Bordelon, Lisa Chavez, Alexander Hill, Kathy Bergeron, Keegan McConnell. This time, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you give today will be the truth, the whole truth?
I do, Rosa Rodriguez.
I do, Kathy Bergeron.
I do, Ellen Bordelon.
I do, Alexander Hill.
I do, Lisa Chavez.
I do, Keegan McConnell.
Thank you all. Before we begin, I want to advise everyone that this proceeding is being recorded. Accordingly, it is important that everyone speaks loudly and clearly, and only one person speaks at a time. To ensure we have an accurate record, please say your name each time before speaking. The purpose of the informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case and to decide the outcome. The licensees have received notice informing them of the matters to be discussed today, the process for the informal interview, and the possible actions the board may take. All right, so let's come down to our first case, but actually first one's without negotiation. All right, so our first case will be A1, case 2024-00277, American Leadership Academy, ACSL 00244, American Leadership Academy Incorporated is the owner. Sterling Tanner is president and Ralph Pugh is vice president. Yes. You swear our friend the testimony you give today to the whole truth and state your name.
Nick Rathman.
Thank you. All right, are you represented by legal counsel or do we have corporate?
They're not an LLC.
So. Oh, I thought.
So they're a corporation,
but corporate.
They're a corporation, but they're not an LLC.
Is that correct?
It is. Not required in this case, Mr. Chair.
All right, so we'll start with our investigator reviewing the report, and then we'll come back to you and ask questions.
Good morning, Mr. Bagley, members of the board. My name is Alexander Hill. On March 8, 2024, I received a complaint by a complainant, Paula Nash, alleging that American Leadership Academy is allowing online health instructors to teach their cosmetology and aesthetic program. On March 18, 2024, I reached out to complainant Paula Nash via email to inquire about the complaint she submitted. On March 28, 2024, I spoke with the first complainant, Paula Hatch, over the phone about her complaint. Paula stated, she's a former aesthetics instructor at ALA. She left American Leadership Academy right before Christmas break in 2023. Unlicensed substitute teachers are regularly filling in and instructing in American Leadership Academy's cosmetology and aesthetic program. She went to HR and administration with her concern that evidence of violations occurred. Nothing was done about the issues she brought to HR. She also avoids concerns to the head cosmetology instructor, Melissa Donlevy, and was always dismissed when she brought up the violation occurring. But this told her not to discuss their absences with the administration and to go to her directly if a substitute is needed. Another cosmetology instructor at ALA that was also spoken to Melissa and the administration about unlicensed substitutes violating board guidelines. The school had a giant clock installed, but it didn't work until a few weeks ago, so they've been entering false hours for the board. Also, no real class schedules are provided, and they plan on maybe 2 to 3 weeks out. On April 2nd, 2024, I received an email from a second complainant, Francine Medina. On April 4th, 2024, I spoke with a second complainant, Francine, over the phone about the complaint. Francine stated, there's only one instructor for both teaching theory and monitoring the clinic board for cosmetology. She told the administration and the head instructor, Melissa, that it is not allowed to have a licensed substitute teaching in the cosmetology and aesthetics program. She was called into the administration's office after she showed them emails from the Arizona Barbering and Cosmetology Board, verifying that all instructors in the cosmetology and aesthetics program, substitutes or not, are to be instructor licensed by the agency. The administration told her that she was not allowed to contact the state board, that they were not renewing her contract with the school, and then would later gifted a vehicle from administration stating that it was a gift with the string dispatcher. Quite a few parents of students have reached out to the administration inquiring about hours since the time clock wasn't working from October 2023 until sometime in January or February 2024. On April 26, 2024, an email from the second complainant, Francine, providing a time stamp of the students performing nail services on the sister. I then called Francine about the phone when she stated, the students were given nail kits on April 9, 2024 by Melissa Donlevy during Francine's absence. They were given a kit without any formal instruction or sanitation or technique, no demonstrations, and without the proper priming product. The unlicensed substitute teacher covering the clinic floor on April 19, 2024, received a pedicure from a student. There is currently no aesthetic instructor for the program, and the aesthetic student just sit in an empty classroom doing nothing until gain hours.